Well, hello and welcome to this, the very first episode of Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103. I'm your host, Aisling O'Rourke, and if my voice is sounding slightly familiar to you, that might be because up until yesterday, I presented Chatters and Matters here on Midlands 103, and a long time ago now, I presented Life and Times here on this very time slot. So first, I want to introduce myself a little bit. I am a communications coach. I help people clarify their message for their audience, and I'm the host of a podcast called Ireland Creates. The podcast features storytellers from all genres, and I publish it fairly regularly on a Thursday. But that's enough about me. I'm here tonight to begin this new program, which I'm very excited about. I hope to give you tips and tricks on how we can all make small changes that will lead to a big impact when it comes to taking care of the environment around us. We're going to talk about climate change, litter, fast fashion, food waste, and everything and anything in between. I hope you stay with us. I hope you enjoy the programme. And if you are working in the area and would like to be featured here on Let's Go Green on Midlands 103, please drop me an email at letsgogreen@midlands103.com, or you can message me through my website. That's aislingo'rourke.com. But for now, we are joined by our very first guest on the programme, and Suzanne Dempsey spoke with me a little bit earlier. She's an environmental awareness officer with Laois County Council. I started off our conversation by asking, well, what role does the County Council have in tackling environmental issues?
That's a good question, Aisling. It seems to be all sorts of everything. Mainly, I work in the area of waste management and litter prevention. So they'd be the main areas, but also it's expanded now into the whole area of climate action.
Okay. And like, I know we were having a little bit of a chat earlier on, and the minute we mentioned climate action or climate change, there can be a tendency of feeling that this is such a massive problem. I'm just going to switch off now because, do you know what? I can't make a real difference. So what is the role of the local authority when it comes to tackling climate action? Like, what can you do at a county level?
Well, I can completely understand why people feel that way. It is seems such a massive global problem. How do we tackle it at an individual level or a household level? And hopefully we've lots of different plans in place for that. At a local authority level, our role has changed really over the last few years. There has been emphasis under the Climate Action Plan for us to have a leadership role in this area as a county council, and both support individuals, businesses and community groups to take climate action, but also ourselves also, that we have quite high targets to meet in terms of energy efficiency improvements and carbon reduction. So we're doing a lot of work ourselves to improve how we operate and to become more energy efficient as a local authority.
And is that, say, in the county council buildings, or would it be in relation to maybe housing you might be involved in building, or both?
Both, actually, yeah. Okay. There's housing retrofits going on at the moment in social housing. So there's one lot of housing just finished, and in the next couple of months we should have 160 houses that will be retrofitted with insulation and also installed with heat pumps. So that work has been ongoing for quite a while. Also, as a local authority, we have reduced our energy consumption now by 46.8%. So
we've done really well
towards the 2020 targets, which 33%. We really exceeded those.
How did you do that?
How do you do that? We retrofitted our public lighting to LEDs. So that was a big program. And we've also installed solar panels in our Port Arlington Leisure Centre. We've also, I suppose, reviewed all our heating controls in all our different buildings just to make sure that they're set at optimum levels, reviewed the building management systems to make sure that they're operating correctly, Done a lot of staff awareness as well, just to get people to switch off. And we've all switched now because of the pandemic to laptops and most of the staff. So they're actually more energy efficient. And I suppose we had a little bit of an uplift from the pandemic as well, because there was so little, I suppose, travel. There's so little of the offices were reduced in number of occupancy and things like that. But we've been working really hard to try and improve our energy efficiency.
As an organisation, like trying to initially reach that, I think you said the 30% target, and then succeeding it, that's fantastic and well done. How do you continue that now going forward, especially when we are beginning to return, hopefully, to the office and get back to, I suppose, whatever the 2022 version of normal is?
Well, I suppose not to get too technical, but I suppose the part of my role is energy officer for the Midland Energy Agency, which includes 5 different local authorities. And we're all collectively looking at where the most carbon effective and cost effective options to reduce our energy consumption. So how we're going to do that is we have obligations to review certain buildings, do complete energy audits on them. And those energy audits will identify all the energy efficiency improvements that can be undertaken. And then we are going to work with energy consultants that will look at which ones are the most carbon effective at, so they tend to be heating improvements, and the other things like which are going to give the best payback in the shortest time, so that they're good value for money. And we will implement those. We're going to have an investment strategy for those up to 2030, which we have a 50% target to meet as local authorities. But I'm really confident, I suppose, we're in a good position at the moment that we'll far exceed that.
Now, Suzanne, you mentioned at the very start of our conversation that part of your job is around litter. And it's a bit of a bugbear of mine. You see, like, no matter what community you're in, you see all of these fantastic volunteers that are out collecting bags and bags of other people's rubbish. And yet we go through the towns and streets and country roads and we see loads of it in, whether it's fly tipping bags of rubbish in other people's maybe fields or hedgerows, or just, you know, the lunch wrapper just left behind. Or like I was in Tullamore the other day, and in the middle of O'Connor Square, someone had left the leftovers of, and I won't name the restaurant, but the leftovers of a fast food meal. And like, I know from talking to these people, I know how much work goes into keeping places clean and how much effort and how frustrating it is from those volunteers' perspective. But there's a part of me that wonders, is it a never-ending battle? Because there seems to be a group of people, a cohort, that just couldn't give a damn.
Well, I share your sentiment of being just frustrated at this issue. Say, I'm working in this field for over 15 years now and be giving out this message in anti-litter, and everybody I speak to, they all have the same sentiment that they can't believe the amount of litter along the sides of the road, frustrated that the dumping that goes on in our scenic areas and so on. So it is really frustrating, because anybody you come into contact with, they're telling the same message, but yet still we have this littering problem across our country. And it's most apparent, I suppose, this time of year before the hedgerows go. And mm-hmm. the grass verges grow, you can see an awful lot of it. And this time, and I suppose that's why we have the April Spring Clean this time every year, because volunteers go out and do that, those tidy ups. There's no magic solution. We're doing a huge amount of awareness, I suppose, in the schools through the Green Schools programme. We do an awful lot of online campaigns and radio campaigns and try to get the message out there, but it is frustrating. But one thing, I suppose, the work that the volunteers do is so important, because it has been shown behavior wise that if people see litter, they're more inclined to litter.
So yes,
litter attracts litter. So by having these cleanups and removing the litter, it reduces the temptation for a lot of people. There is that, as you said, the 10% that is so hard to reach. I don't know what it's going to take to change their ways, but the majority of people don't. But there's about 30% that if they see litter, they don't feel so bad about throwing litter. So it prevents that group, I suppose, engaging in that behaviour.
I spent a very short trip in Japan and I stayed with them, some cousins. And I was talking to the kids and I said, Tokyo is so clean. It's a massive city and all of these people, but yet it's so clean. And they mentioned that in school, they're taught to bring a little sandwich bag or some little resealable bag. And any rubbish they create during the day goes into the bag and then they bring it home and it goes into the bin. And I thought, God, that's such a simple thing. But it's how another culture tackles this. And it's taught from preschool up, you know, it's part of the culture. But I suppose it's something that we will talk about more here on the programme. And I do want to talk more about the idea that the government is looking at allowing local authorities like yourselves to use CCTV footage to catch people who are fly tipping. And that legislation is moving through the Dáil. So hopefully that won't be a barrier in the future. But for now, Suzanne Dempsey, thank you for joining us here on Midlands 103 this evening. I'll be back after the break with an inspiring young woman from Multifarnham. Well, I hope you have been enjoying our very first episode of Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103. Now, one of the things I really enjoy and one of the things I really want to encourage as part of this new radio show is speaking to young people right around the Midlands who've taken an interest in the environment and doing their bit to hopefully lead to a bigger impact. And we're joined now by one such young person, 14-year-old Clodagh Ramsay. Clodagh, welcome to the programme.
Hi, thank you so much for having me to talk today.
Now, Clodagh, why are we speaking to you today? Tell me a little bit about how you've come to some media attention lately.
I have created a living piece and it's called Bohemian Pampastry for the competition Junkature. And Junkature gives students a platform to showcase their creativity. Just like a sports tournament where a rugby player would be able to showcase their skills, sustainability and use of recycled materials is a must for Junkature. So that's why I was really interested.
Now, when I was in school, Clodagh, Junkature was called Form and Fusion. And I distinctly remember the effort that I put in with my classmates at the time making my costume that transition year. And it was brilliant crack. But I know that the teacher involved is very important. So before we get any further, we should mention what school you're at and who is the teacher that's helping you do all of this.
So my teacher is Justina Byrne, and she has been so helpful through all of this. And I go to Wilson's Hospital School. Okay. And this is my first time doing Junkature, so I really enjoyed the experience.
So, correct me now if I'm wrong. As I understand it, Junkature is a fashion design competition where you're asked to use recycled materials and push your creativity a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
So, tell me about your dress. Where did the idea come from?
My design piece was originally inspired by my own love of boho fashion. I really love the muted natural tones and the casual style that comes with it. I've used a lot of organic materials and that's what makes my design unique.
Now, the materials that you've used, and you mentioned earlier, your dress is a living dress. So talk us through what exactly is in it.
So when I started to consider my materials, I was drawn to pampas grass and I really wanted to use it in some way in my design. So I decided it would be the skirt. When I came to the bodice, I considered using bark chippings because they're also a really natural material, but I use natural cork. So I got my school to give me in champagne and wine corks, and I actually collected 200 at the end of it, and they were cut into discs. And the further I went into the competition, I wanted to connect my design to the earth, and it became an actual living piece. So I decided to harvest moss from my garden and plug it into the bodice. And I planted living black grasses into the shoulder piece of my design, and it still had an intact root structure. So they were planted in cat food pouches and they were planted with like damp soil. So it's all alive. And my concept was from my own garden, obviously. And I gave myself a really hard challenge because unlike other competitors, they have made their dress. And although it looks super pretty and it can just sit there until they need it, I created a baby. I have to feed it, water it, I have to give it light and air. It's just a lot of hard work. So
it's phenomenal, Clodagh. Absolutely phenomenal. Like,
thank you.
The idea, okay, of using all of those natural materials is fantastic, but like to actually keep it alive along the way, like you say, like you're minding it like a baby.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, just like a baby.
That's, I'm sure, an important lesson that your parents are delighted that you've learned at this young age. So, Clodagh, your dress now, this, as we said at the start, you're in this junk couture competition and you're representing your school, Wilson's, there in Multifarnham. What stage are you at now?
So my design is completed, and because I'm near the end, I've intended to repurpose my design as a planted feature at the entrance of my school. So the woodwork students are creating like a tiered planter for me to plant my pampas grass, my moss, and my black grasses. So this is just a nice memory to remember this whole experience. And I want it to be called the afterlife, because the whole purpose of it is it lives on forever. And it's not just going to be binned, it's going to be recycled, it's going to live forever.
Wow, that... I'm in awe, Clodagh, that you've come up with all these amazing ideas. Now, the competition itself, like I remember it, it's very competitive, and it's brilliant crack, but it is very, very serious. So what stage of the competition have you gotten into?
I am in the All-Ireland. So it is the live show in the Bord Gáis Theatre on May 5th, and it's televised by RTE. And it's where everyone who's gone through to this regional final, and they're going to be performing, and it's like I'm quite nervous to do it, because I'm like a, you know, like a dandelion clock, and like the dress is very delicate, so it's going to be a really good experience to go through. So I'll need public support, and that will be by votes. So it can be done after the live show using the Junk Couture app, and that can be done downloaded in a few easy steps, and you sign in as a fan. And that's how you're all ready to go and vote. So I'd love to vote for me.
Will your classmates be able to go with you to the final?
Yeah, they will. They're really excited to come and see me.
I bet you're all eager to getting a good night out after the past couple of years.
Yeah, we're all excited.
Now, Clodagh, could you tell me, just the app itself is called Junk Couture. So could you maybe spell that for us?
Yeah, it's J-U-N-K. K-O-U-T-U-R-E.
So all we have to do is to download the app onto our smartphones, and we sign up as a fan, and then we have to vote for your design. So what's your design called again, Clodagh?
Bohemian Pampas Tree. And if you'd actually like to see it further, you can go onto Instagram, and I have an account there, and you can see it from the very start and how it's developed. So that's Bohemian Pampas Tree on Instagram.
Now, Clodagh, the fact that, like, because I know from personal experience, because we didn't get through to the national finals. I'm not sure that we made it outside our school. But anyway, that's history. I know how competitive this competition is, and you've obviously put huge effort into it, and you've got your social media is right on point. What do you hope to take from this now? What have you learned from the whole experience?
How, like, interesting it is to use all the sustainable materials, and how fun it is to get interested in something like this. So that's what I'm definitely going to take with me. Even if I don't make it further, it's definitely something that I've really enjoyed.
And would you like to maybe go into fashion design in college, or take it somehow into your further studies?
No, actually, I'd like to be a dentist.
Oh, so, wow. Okay. <very different. laughs> That's very interesting, but it's good to have a few options, really, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Clodagh, look, as we say, we're looking for every listener to Midlands 103 to vote for Bohemian Pampas Grass on the Junk Couture app. When is the final again?
It's on the 5th of May, and it's Bohemian Pampas Tree. So
Bohemian Pampas Tree. My apologies. So Bohemian Pampas Tree, and that opens on the 5th of May on the Junk Couture app.
Yeah.
Well, Clodagh, we wish you the very best of luck. Please do keep in touch and let us know how it goes. And I hope you have a fantastic, regardless of the result, I hope you have a fantastic night out with your classmates.
Thank you so much. Of course, I'll keep you posted on it.
And that was Clodagh Ramsay of Wilson's Hospital School in Multifarnham. She's 14. Isn't she a fantastic spokesperson for her school and her cause? Well, I love playing Irish music here when I'm on the radio. So tonight it's going to be Bobby Arlow and Feel It. You're listening to Let's Go Green on Midlands 103. Well, you may have seen this next item doing the rounds on the internet over the last week or so. The famous vacuum brand Dyson has come out with a new gadget, which I think looks something like a cross between RoboCop and Star Wars. But to talk a little bit more about this new piece of technology, we're joined by Professor John Wenger of the School of Chemistry in UCC. John, welcome to the programme.
Hello there.
John, this new gadget that Dyson has released, it's some sort of air ventilation tool, as I understand it. What exactly are they trying to do?
So this is Dyson trying to make use of their air filtration technology that they've built up over the years, but in a wearable product, really. And this wearable product is called the Dyson Zone, and it aims to deliver clean air to the wearer and also delivering a noise-free environment. So it basically consists of noise-cancelling headphones connected to a visor, which goes from ear to ear across the wearer's mouth, but without touching it. And the smart bit about this device really is that the headphones suck air in, pass it through filters to remove pollutant particles and gases, and then flows filtered air through the visor and over the wearer's face. So the wearer then is receiving fresh air continuously and has a noise-free environment.
Now, this all sounds, to be honest with you, I was kind of half surprised it wasn't some form of elaborate April Fool's joke. But the idea of cleaning the air around us, cleaning the air that we breathe in, that in and of itself actually is an important thing, because we do know that air pollution leads to deaths.
That's right. So part of my research, I work on atmospheric science and air pollution. And from our own research, as well as research carried on around the world, we know that exposure to air pollution is a worldwide problem, responsible for about 7 million premature deaths each year. And around 1,200 of those are occurring in Ireland. So people are dying early because of exposure to air pollution. People are affected in terms of their health. So we can, that breathing in polluted air can affect the respiratory system, your breathing, it can affect the heart. And we're finding more and more that it can affect almost every part of the body, because the tiny particles that we're breathing in can move through the bloodstream and deposit in certain organs. So any measures to reduce air pollution are, of course, very important. The best thing really is to stop emissions or to reduce emissions. You know, if everybody was to wear a personal air purifier, I mean, well, imagine the cost of that and the effort involved and everything else. When if we just reduced emissions, I think that would be a much better idea.
I have severe asthma, so I am very sensitive. Like if I'm in a room with somebody who's vaping, I'll either ask them to stop or I'll leave. So in theory, something that ventilates the air that I'm going to breathe in, I should be the target market. But looking at this gadget, and then, you know, I'm assuming it's going to have a pretty hefty price tag, I'm skeptical as to whether or not people will actually wear it. What do you think?
Well, it does look a bit odd, as you mentioned before. Mm. It looks like something out of a science fiction movie. So there's that side of it. There's the cost. We don't have any idea of the cost when it will become available later on this year, but it's going to be upwards of €500, more likely towards €1,000.
So that's a lot of money.
It might have a niche market. And I understand that people with certain health conditions might be more inclined to buy it. I do get that. And maybe there will be take-up of it. You know, maybe people will buy them. In the end, obviously, and we've learned this through COVID now, the importance of clean air, fresh air, cannot be underestimated. You know, it's very important. in terms of our own health. The air that we breathe 11,000 litres of air in a day. It's huge amounts of air. So even if the pollution level is small, the volume of air that we breathe is huge. And so over time, your total exposure increases with time. So the less time you spend in a polluted environment, the better. The less pollution there is, the better. Personal clean air, for me, is a bit of a, I don't know, I don't think that we will end up going there, but I do see it potentially useful for people with, health problems that might benefit from it.
In relation to emissions, what are the emissions that we produce that will affect the air quality in particular?
So the main, there are three main categories of emissions, really. The first and the largest source, especially during the 6 months of the year when we're heating our homes, is solid fuel burning. So burning coal and peat and wood in the home all produces particulates. The smoke that goes in the air ends up being dispersed as very, very tiny particles in the air that we breathe in and can affect our health. So that's probably the major source of particulate matter. Second of all, is obviously road traffic. So trucks and buses and cars emit the exhaust gases. NO2 is the key problem pollutant there that does affect people with asthma, and this also a source of particles. And finally, agriculture. So agricultural emissions are quite intense. And I know at the moment it's people are putting fertilizer down and slurry and things like that. And those emissions do lead to secondary particles in the air. So those are the three main sources. So whatever we can do to reduce emissions from each of those areas, then that will improve air quality. And remember, some of these things like burning solid fuels or driving cars that are powered by petrol or diesel also contribute to climate change. So reducing those emissions benefits air quality and health, but it's also a benefit for climate too.
Well, Professor John Wenger from the School of Chemistry in UCC, thank you so much for joining us on this, our first episode of Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103. I have posted a picture of this new Dyson gadget on my Twitter profile. So if you want to follow me at Aisling O'Rourkin, let me know what you think about it. I'm not convinced, but maybe in 5 years' time, we might have something smaller, cheaper and, well, less looking like Darth Vader that might be on the market, and maybe I might be convinced then. But John, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Let's Go Green here on Midlands 103. I'm your host, Aisling O'Rourke, and I hope you have enjoyed our very first episode of the programme tonight. If you are just joining us, Let's Go Green is a brand new venture here on Midlands 103. The programme aims to be a source of information and give you hints, tips and tricks on how we can all make small changes that will lead to a larger positive impact in terms of tackling climate change and indeed just being kind to the environment around us. Now, I am very keen to speak with local business people who are working in this area, who maybe have changed their business practices in order to become more environmentally minded, and businesses who are creating products that are in fact sustainable. And I want to highlight you and learn more about what it is that you are doing. So if you want to be featured here on the programme, please do get in contact with me. You can tweet me at Aisling O'Rourke over on Twitter. You can get in contact with me through my website, that's aislingorourke.com, or you can email me at letsgogreen@midlands103.com. Or indeed, you can call the station and they will give you my contact details. That's all we have time for tonight. But I do want to remind you, please do give Clodagh Ramsay your support. So in May, the Junk Couture Final will take place. And what you have to do is to download the Junk Couture, that's Couture with a K, app. Join up as a fan and vote for the Bohemian Pampas Tree. And we'd love to see Clodagh bring home the trophy from the 2022 Junk Couture Competition I think you'll agree she's a fantastic spokesperson for her school and her costume. Look up her Instagram account. That's Bohemian Pampas Tree on Instagram. It's absolutely stunning and I thoroughly enjoyed my conversation with Clodagh and indeed all my guests this evening. Well, my thanks to everybody who contributed to this week's show. I'll be back with another episode of Let's Go Green this time next week. But in the meantime, I like playing some Irish music when I'm on the air, and tonight it'll be Snow Patrol and Take Back the City. Stay safe and have a great week.